T. Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. European Union leaders have opened a day of emergency summit talks on Ukraine following President Trump's suspension of all aid to the country. A draft of an executive order obtained by ABC News shows the president has directed Education Secretary Linda McMahon to begin the process of closing the U.S. Department of Education as soon as this week. Elon Musk meeting with Republicans on Capitol Hill about the firings of thousands of federal employees afterwards.
Mr. Musk, what was your message in there to House Republicans?
You know, there's a lot of opportunity to improve expenditures in the government.
Another major storm across parts of the Midwest and the South.
Torrential rain and powerful thunderstorms slamming the I-95 corridor. Outside Charlotte, multiple buildings torn apart by a confirmed EF1 tornado with 90-mile-an-hour winds. Families in North Texas and outside Oklahoma City cleaning up.
That's ABC's Stephanie Ramos. This is ABC News. Mohammad Sharifullah, the man accused of facilitating the deadly Abbey Gate bombing in Afghanistan that happened as U.S. troops were pulling out, making a court appearance in Washington. ABC's Alex Mallon was there.
He walked in. He was in a blue getup. He did not have his legs or hands shackled. He was surrounded by three very large U.S. marshals who stood at attention, watching him very intently the entire time. He had an interpreter. The judge essentially just read him his constitutional rights. He is now a criminal defendant in the U.S. justice system. He is afforded the same constitutional rights that any criminal defendant in the system is afforded.
Sharifullah believed to be a member of the terror group ISIS-K. Football practice has begun at the University of North Carolina with new coach Bill Belichick at the helm. The 72-year-old, who won 6 Super Bowls with the New England Patriots, has said he wants to build a mini NFL model at the collegiate level at UNC. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table? And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wisconsin gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Badgers beat the Gophers in Minnesota. Matt LaPay on the Badgers Radio Network.
Inbounds pass to Tanjay. They'll let him dribble out the clock, and the Badgers make it 9 straight against Minnesota as the Badgers win it by 7. Final score tonight, Wisconsin 74, Minnesota 67.
John Blackwell with 25 points. The Badgers 21 for 24 from the free throw line. That's the best in the nation. Great guard.
You know, you get on the road, the fact that we were able to really be solid with the ball the second half and get to the free throw line was really important.
Marquette with a loss at UConn, 72-66. The Golden Eagles host number 6th-ranked St. John's on Saturday. NBA, the Bucks over the shorthanded Mavericks, 137-107. Giannis scoring his 20,000th career point.
20,000 points is, obviously, when I go on the court, I'm a competitor. I'm going to compete. That's who I am.
It's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're heading to the theater this weekend while the snow melts, here are some moving pictures you might enjoy, especially if you're into sci-fi. Opening in wide release is Mickey 17. It's being called a sci-fi comedy, drama, mystery, thriller. covers a lot of bases. I think the only genre they're missing is adult film. The movie stars Robert Pattinson, who plays an expendable on a dangerous mission to colonize a planet covered with ice. The film is getting mad love from critics with an 87% and certified fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Another new sci-fi film that hits theaters, In the Lost Lands, stars Mila Jovovich and David Bautista. The film is about a queen who sends a sorceress into forbidden lands to find magical powers, kind of a necessity in the sorcery game. It's a nice cast and sounds fun, but is batting about a 50% with just a handful of reviews in. If science fiction isn't your thing, there are still lots of leftovers in the theaters from the last couple weeks, and most Oscar films are available to stream. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wombo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today and still a little breezy, but not as windy as it was yesterday. We'll get to 38 for a high. The wind west at 10 to 20. Tonight, mostly clear, down to 8 above. Tomorrow, sunshine 33, back to 40 Saturday. Upper 40s to low 50s by Sunday and Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 3 above.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, making the popcorn pick of the week will be Civic Media's own Todd Alba. And then Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter Paul Hanna joins me in the studio. I'm telling you, don't miss this.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, March 6th, 2025. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening on the app or by podcast or on social media, we appreciate you getting your day started right here. I've got a question for you. Would it surprise you to learn that Elon Musk, the guy who single-handedly turned Twitter from a mainstream information source into a Nazi-friendly dumpster fire, is now pouring money into deceptive ads for Wisconsin's Supreme Court elections? We'll give you an update on that coming up ahead on the program today. Also, we'll talk to Joe Zepecki. Here is a useful little tool we never thought we would need in the United States, something called a healthcare sabotage tracker. That tracker is the growing list of ways that the new administration has already started having negative impacts on healthcare for every American. Joe will tell us how the group Protect Our Care is keeping politicians accountable for sacrificing your health to pay for billionaires' tax cuts. We'll have details on how veterans in Wisconsin and across the country are PO'd at the president about the mass firings and that there are many more firings of veterans still to come at the Veterans Administration and throughout the government. In our second hour, imagine growing up in Hudson, Wisconsin, starting a financial career and rising to become one of Wall Street's trusted voices on fraud and money laundering and compliance with international banking rules. His name is Sean O'Malley. He has an experienced insider's view of how the dots are connected between global finance and the White House. And he tells us about the real impact of moves like imposing tariffs, ending aid to Ukraine, coddling Russian oligarchs, and how that plays on Wall Street. We'll also get updates from State Senator LaTanya Johnson of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee and first-term Assembly Representative Russell Goodwin. We'll have meteorologist Brittany Merlot in here as well and Luke Mathers before things are all done. So just a busy, busy show that we have for you on this Thursday morning, and appreciate you being here to be a part of it. You can be part of the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or as is most people's desire this early in the morning that don't want to hear their scratchy little sleepy voices, send us a text message. Same number, 855-75-CIVIC, or use the Civic Media app to text us or call us or jump in one of our other playgrounds on social media, the Sandbox on Facebook or YouTube. Put something in the comment section, and we may put it up there and respond to it as well. Emails radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Well, after a foot of snow hit Baldwin yesterday, temperatures are going to rebound today, warm enough across the state to melt a lot of it. But the snow is also keeping us rather cool this morning for one more day. Another system will swipe a little part of the state yet before the big warm-up begins. The state forecast for today, mostly sunny and breezy. Highs in the low 30s up north to the mid-30s in the south. Still breezy, like I said, west winds at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight, and then there is that slight chance of snow late tonight in the southwestern part of the state as the storm system passes well to the south of us. Lows tonight around 10 up north, 20 in the south of west wind at 5 to 15 miles an hour. And then we get into the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s next week. But it's colder this morning here on Lake Wissota. It's 17 degrees right now. Hayward's down to 4 degrees above zero. Amory at 12, Wausau 18, La Crosse is at 22, Green Bay 27, Madison 23. It's 26 in Milwaukee, and it's 27 degrees right now at Radio Park in Racine, where we bring in one Greg Bach wearing his Roy Kent whistle t-shirt today.
I got to get that sound. I just got to get that sound.
You should. You should absolutely. Yeah. Don't. Although yours is pretty good. You do it.
Whistle.
Yeah. See, that works.
Is that too loud? Did that hurt your ears?
Nope.
Sorry if that hurt anyone's ears.
Nope. That was good.
All right.
You got it. Got it nailed down. How are things way down there?
I gotta say, yesterday it was very chilly at night, and then I got I know it's very early March, but I feel like we got a few days in the 50s. So I'm like, well, I guess it's hoodie weather, and. Now I'm like, oh, it's so cold outside. What happened? What did we do? How did we make the gods mad?
We always have these adjustments to make for the season, and we'll do that. We'll get through it.
Yeah.
But there's those days where it's like, well, last week when I was in Arizona, it was 50 degrees, and I'm wearing shorts, you know, and a t-shirt, you know. But in August, it was 50. You'd be like. What's happening? What's going on?
Isn't it the best being in a place where they're not used to cold? And you're like, I was in Seattle in December of 2017. It was 49 degrees, and I was wearing a hoodie and just a hoodie and jeans. And people are in down parkas. I'm like, you will never survive the apocalypse.
No. The whole when hell freezes over thing.
Yep. Nope.
Yeah. I also have a new project that I can't show you because it's on the floor here, just off to the side of the. But I've told you about this once before, and yesterday was the delivery of 6 very heavy flat boxes and some other accessory equipment. So the new bookshelves for this back wall of my home office are here. And I have looked, turns out there are multiple videos on YouTube about how to assemble, you know, various pieces of IKEA furniture, including this particular shelf model. And I'll just say thank you to whoever made those videos, because I've tried to follow those little pictograph instructions, you know, that are included, where the drawing is never quite right. So is it this piece with the groove on the left, or is it this piece with the holes on the right? I don't know. Is that a groove or what? So thank you to the guy making the video, especially the one in the one video where he points out to the instructions and says, now, I don't know if they sent me the wrong piece or if this drawing is wrong, but I got it to work, and here's how you'll make it work, too. And I'm thinking, what would I have done without this video? So this is going to be an adventure. I'm not going to get around to it. I've got you know, other things going on. It may be a couple of weeks. And so the big thing for me is when I do this, probably in a couple of weekends here when I've got more open time, is some morning, are you going to see a finished product behind me, or are we going to sign on with nothing on the walls, no furniture behind me, nothing, maybe just some remnants of cardboard boxes? I don't know. Maybe a hole punched in the wall. Who knows? It's going to be an adventure.
Pat, shirtless, covered in dust and dirt, holding a screwdriver, going, how did I do this? How did I make this happen?
Looking like somebody that just crawled off the island on Survivor.
Yeah.
Me versus IKEA. Wish me luck, folks. We'll keep you updated. We are doing our first ever live event here at Up North News, all about the state Supreme Court race, and it's taking place next Wednesday, March 12th, at the Overture Center in Madison. We would love to have you come join us. Register. Tickets are free. UpNorthNewsWI.com/Supreme is how you come join us in person. We will have options for live streaming as well that we'll tell you about next week. But we will have three different panel discussions, a little over 20, 25 minutes each or so, on the impact of this state Supreme Court race on reproductive health care rights in Wisconsin, the economy and jobs, and education. Because this is an open seat that will decide control of the court, these three issues are going to see significant changes one way or the other. And there's going to be impact on every Wisconsin family, business, you name it. So we'd love to have you join us either in person or stream the event. Learn more at upnorthnewswi.com/supreme. Quarter past six right now, so let's take a little look at sports here. Well, there was a milestone set by Giannis Antetokounmpo last night that admittedly pales in comparison to what LeBron James did the other night, but still, it is a big deal to join the 20,000-point club. Giannis scored 32 against Dallas in a 137-107 win last night. It's the Bucks' eighth win in their last nine games. Antetokounmpo is 30 years old now, and he's now scored 20,010 career points, making him only the 52nd player to reach 20,000. But of all of them, the only players to get to the 20,000-point mark at a younger age were Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, and LeBron James. So he's in that kind of company. And as for King James, if you missed it a couple of nights ago, he became the first ever player in NBA history to reach 50,000 points at the age of 40. The Bucks will host Orlando coming up on Saturday. College men's basketball, the 12th-ranked Badger men beat Minnesota last night 74-67. They will wrap up the regular season on Saturday, hosting Penn State. You'll be able to hear that game on several Civic Media radio stations and through the Civic Media app. The Marquette men's basketball team lost at UConn last night 72-66. They wrap up their regular season on Saturday, hosting St. John's, before they get ready for the Big East Conference tournament there. The latest on the Brewers' pitching injury woes, D.L. Hall has now officially been placed on the 60-day injured list with a left lat strain, so he will not be available until late May. But that did open up a roster spot for left-hander Jose Quintana, picked up by the Brewers on a one-year contract for just over $4 million. If the name is a little familiar in a heartbreaking way, it was because Quintana was the starting pitcher for the Mets in that wild card series matchup with the Brewers, and he shut out the Brewers over six innings in the Mets 4-2 victory. But he's on our side now, as long as he doesn't get injured here. Tell you that there was a new Marquette poll that's out. Not going to drag you down into all the details here. I will say that 51% of the voters surveyed told pollsters that new tariffs imposed by President Trump on China, Canada, and Mexico will hurt the U.S. economy, while 32% believe it will help Americans. 53% of voters disapprove of cuts by Elon Musk's and his fake department of I get to do whatever I want, while 47% believe the cuts are properly carrying out Trump's agenda. 60% say Trump's actions to freeze federal spending and close down agencies go beyond his power as president, but 40% say it's within the bounds of office. In terms of overall job approval, Republicans love him, Democrats hate him. How about the independents? 60% of self-described independents surveyed disapprove of the job Trump is doing, while 39% approve. We'll talk a little bit about the state Supreme Court race with the Marquette poll and Elon Musk running fake ads as part of it, and veterans very angry at Donald Trump over all these layoffs. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show. I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I don't care if you never come home. I don't mind if you just keep on rolling away on a distant sea, because I don't love you when you don't love me.
Eric Clapton is in today's history lesson, connected with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We'll tell you about that in about 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio. And yes, Tony called us out rightly to say, hey, nothing about what? The women's hockey tournament. Your number one team in the country, the Wisconsin Badger women, number one seed in the tournament this weekend. I got you, buddy. The conference tournament, the final faceoff, the Badger women are playing tomorrow afternoon at 1:00 in Duluth against Minnesota Duluth. And if they win, then they advance to the conference championship there. So
I just want to say, Tony, stop.
Whistle.
As you know, I don't care about 95% of sports. So
yes,
college hockey was not going to be on my brain.
Oh, college hockey's on my brain.
I know,
very, very much so.
I love how great the Badgers are, especially the women's team. Women's hockey being amazing is amazing. I love it. But it is. Also, I was looking for a Roy Kent clip, so
you found just the right excuse for it.
Yep.
And you know, while we're on the subject, then, of college hockey, you have to spell it CAWLIDGE, college hockey. I've mentioned, but I haven't mentioned it for a while here, but I have a son-in-law who works for the hockey team at Western Michigan University, the number 3 or number 4 ranked team in the country, if I do say so myself. there's a lot of following of college hockey in this home, and very excited about it, including that particular conference. But we'll follow the Badger men as they take on Ohio State this weekend in the Big Ten tournament as well. All right, I mentioned that Elon Musk is running fake ads, which I know surprises nobody, but let me give you a quick little detail on it. Dan Bice has the detail in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He begins the story saying Elon Musk and his pals have found a new way to try to influence the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race through a bogus front group. It's a group that calls itself Progress 2028, running ads on Facebook and other social media platforms, and it basically is meant to look like it's friendly to Susan Crawford by saying she supports all of these far left things that she has not necessarily talked about. So again, they're trying to make her sound soft on crime, catch and release, all of those things. You know, call Susan Crawford and tell her thank you. Those are not Susan Crawford ads. Those are not fact-based ads. It's how Elon Musk is playing in the state Supreme Court race. Surprising nobody. As far as that Marquette poll goes, they did not do a head-to-head matchup, in part because a lot of people still say they don't know Judge Susan Crawford or former Attorney General Brad Schimel well enough to have formed an opinion. They've got Schimel viewed favorably by 29%, unfavorably by 32%, but about two out of every five people said they had no opinion of him. And about three out of five said they didn't really have an opinion yet about Susan Crawford. But interestingly enough, 83% of the voters surveyed did realize the election could tip the balance of power on the Supreme Court, even if they didn't know the candidate very well. So people know about the importance of it, but they also know they've got a couple of more weeks yet to look at ads and learn more about the candidates, Crawford and Schimel, and then come up with a determination about who they're going to run for. So you should study up on those candidates, and you should vote. Let's talk for a second about veterans in Wisconsin and elsewhere. An Associated Press story captures just some of the anger by veterans out there, including James Stansel, a 62-year-old Army veteran fired last month from his job as a supply technician at the VA hospital in Milwaukee. He told the AP it felt like he'd been shot and dumped out of a helicopter. "I'm not dead weight," he said. "You're tossing off the wrong stuff." And he has the same view as a lot of folks who work in the government and say there are places where cuts could be made, but this whole-scale, widespread, random firings of people isn't the way to do it. The mass firing of federal employees since Trump took office in January is pushing out veterans who make up 30% of the nation's federal workforce. I'm going to say that again. Veterans make up 30% of the nation's federal workforce, and many more firings are on the way. The Associated Press got hold of an internal memo from the VA that says there's a reorganization coming that will cut more than 80,000 jobs from the agency. Veterans represent more than 25% of the VA's workforce. In interviews, several veterans who supported candidates of either party described their recent job losses as a betrayal of their military service. They are particularly angered by how it happened. In an email that cited inadequate job performance despite positive reviews in their role. In other words, again, Elon Musk making stuff up. Stansel, for one, believes that Trump owes those fired veterans an apology. Are we going to get one? I don't know. Listen to this soundbite. This is Alina Haba. Remember her? She was Trump's lawyer when he lost and was convicted on all those felony counts. But of course, she's now a White House counselor. Then listen to her being asked about the veterans' firings. Listen carefully, especially to the end of her answer.
Starting to think about maybe some of those veterans who worked for the federal government and maybe what the administration can do to at least help salvage their lives?
Well, as you know, we care about veterans tremendously. I mean, that's something the president has always cared about, anybody in blue, anybody that serves this country. But at the same time, we have taxpayer dollars. We have a fiscal responsibility to use taxpayer dollars to pay people that actually work. That doesn't mean that we forget our veterans by any means. We are going to care for them in the right way, but perhaps they're not fit to have a job at this moment or not willing to come to work. And we can't, you know, I wouldn't take money from you and pay somebody and say, sorry, you know, they're not going to come to work. It's just not acceptable.
There's the message from Donald Trump. You lazy bums, you veterans, suckling on, you know, the federal government. She's a terrible lawyer to begin with. And is that really the message that, you know, we have a responsibility to pay people that actually work? Perhaps they're not fit to have a job at this moment or not willing to come to work. And as if that weren't enough, Greg, there's also that note. Oh, we support all our veterans and anybody in blue. Anybody in blue? Anybody? Really? How many people did you pardon for beating up on Capitol Police?
Oh, God, this I can't even look. No. Keep talking, Pat.
If I had time, I would play it again. But we're going to keep that. We're going to edit that bite down. And we're going to keep that line handy because she is speaking for Donald Trump when she says perhaps veterans are not fit to have a job at this moment, not willing to come into work. We have to use taxpayer dollars to pay people that actually want to work. Have a great day, veterans, from your president. Joe Zepecki's up next. I got a problem.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
By the time spring planting is happening in Wisconsin, farmers could start feeling the pinch on petrol. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. That's because Canada is by far the U.S.'s number one supplier when it comes to crude oil. Now that tariffs are in effect on Canadian energy to the tune of 10%, Patrick Dehan with Gas Buddy says farmers may see an escalated price at the pumps, per se, when spring planting starts.
Well, a lot of what Canada sends us at 4.5 million barrels of oil per day, Canada is the largest source of crude oil imported in the United States. And a lot of what we use here in the Midwest has been fed by Canadian oil through U.S.-based refineries. So a good portion of what you may be farming with in agro-consumption as well as things like gasoline and jet fuel is derived from that Canadian crude oil. The 4.5 million barrels a day that flows through much of the United States Midwest.
Patrick Dehan with Gas Buddy. He says the idea that the United States can support itself overnight is just not going to work with our current infrastructure. What about biofuels? He said, yes, there may be an opportunity here, but again, that solution not happening overnight. What is happening in overnight activity as far as markets are concerned? Looking a little stronger, numbers are next.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show. In overnight trade this morning, right now December corn's unchanged at 447. November beans are up 6 at 1015. July wheat right now up a penny at 563. Barrel cheese dropped another 2.5 cents yesterday at 170.5. 40-pound block cheese gained a penny, 161.5, and AA butter gained back 3.25 cents to 228.25 per pound on the close yesterday. That's just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand on a Thursday morning. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today and still a little breezy, but not as windy as it was yesterday. We'll get to 38 for a high. The wind west at 10 to 20. Tonight, mostly clear, down to 8 above. Tomorrow, sunshine 33, back to 40 Saturday. Upper 40s to low 50s by Sunday and Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 3 above.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time on The Serious Side. We'll talk about the 80,000 cuts proposed to the Department of Veterans Affairs and on what's worse, the Olio edition. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hey, this is the part of the program where we normally talk to Joe Zepecki about headlines in the news, usually about politics, but we are going to talk about sports first. Mr. Zepecki, if I tell you the Brewers season opener is 3 weeks from today, how does that make you feel?
It honestly makes me a little more nervous than it used to because the pitching staff is so banged up.
Yes.
We might want another week or two of spring training at this rate.
No. See, we're getting this out of the way now, so we're all healed in time for the end of the season.
We can go with that. I also
Isn't that what we say about the Bucks all the time too? You want to be good down the stretch the way the Bucks have been lately. That's right.
And we got to note that it's also going to be an unusual start to the year. You know, Euchre was such a pivotal part of the club and opening day, and that it wasn't just the return of spring that was being marked. It was, we still got Bob in the
booth. Right.
And so it's going to be a little different, but hope springs eternal. Maybe this is our year.
I'm not going to say that I didn't get a little catch in my throat when I was at that spring training game last week, and they've got Euchre's signature behind home plate, painted into the grass. Folks are going to see that at American Family Field, and it'll be a moment. But
a fitting tribute.
We will be okay. All right, let's get into it. We're going to do a lot of healthcare this week, which makes sense because that is what Donald Trump and Elon Musk have been cutting so much to pay for billionaire tax cuts. So I want to start actually with Wisconsin Republicans in the legislature, because last week while I was away in Arizona, they held a news conference, if I'm not mistaken, where they bragged. They went on about what a good thing it was that for over a decade they have blocked Medicaid expansion, because now you see how Medicaid's getting cut. And they always said, this stuff could get cut, so we shouldn't expand Medicaid because you never know when somebody might cut it. I mean, if that wasn't a self-fulfilling prophecy and a confession, it was the Republicans saying, you know what? You can't trust us. So you shouldn't try to make your healthcare better.
It's just so stupid. And it tells me, the fact that they did this press conference and are beating their chest just tells me that we are winning on this issue, we being Democrats, because there is no explanation for over the last 14, almost 15 years, leaving billions with a B of dollars on the table, just in case that one day we elected a president that was so opposed to people having healthcare as Donald Trump, and accidentally at the same time managed to elect a Congress that is controlled by Republicans and is equally hell-bent on taking people's health care away, just in case that might ever come true 15 years later after we've subsidized health care in 40 other states for more than a decade. I mean, give me a break. Clearly, we are scoring points on them when it comes to health care. This was just nonsense. Nobody with a brain takes this argument seriously, because they are correct on only one point. Medicaid expansion is no longer the pressing concern. The pressing concern, if you are a state Republican, or that should be your concern if you're a state Republican lawmaker, is what Donald Trump and Elon Musk and the MAGA majority in Congress have signed off on is a budget framework that would cut between $800 billion and $2.2 trillion from Medicaid. That will impact the state of Wisconsin. That's got nothing to do with Medicaid expansion. It's got to do with how state dollars are used to support healthcare. And that degree of cut to Medicaid would blow a hole in the state budget, even though we didn't take the expansion. And what that means, listeners, is less money for tax cuts for the middle class and working families, less money to fix the damn roads, less money to invest in education and technical colleges so people can find a career if college isn't right for them. This is going to be a problem. And rather than lobby their MAGA majority to say, hold on a second, this Medicaid stuff is going to kill our state budget, they're out there patting themselves on the back for having the foresight to go, well, it's fine that we wasted a couple billion dollars we could have had. This is nonsense. But that's kind of the defining theme of the Republican Party today. It's just nonsense. There's no actually squaring the logic circle when it comes to these guys.
And here's the important part here. If somebody were to hear the numbers that you had just thrown out and said 800 million to or to 800 billion to $2.2 trillion. Wow, I didn't know Medicaid cost that much. Yeah, that we should cut some of that out of there. And then they think, well, so that's savings? That's money that's going to somehow go to them? No, this is a transfer. You're not going to save a dime. You're going to lose health care. And that 800 billion to 2 trillion is going to go to tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. So the option of putting it in your pocket was never actually an option.
No.
It was never there.
And the other part of it that they're not going to tell you is that, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I think it's like out of every $3 that the state of Wisconsin spends on Medicaid, I think two of them are federal dollars that are transferred down and one are state dollars. Mm-hmm. But what they're not telling you is just because the money goes away doesn't mean that the needs go away. And so what that means is there's going to be more people more reliant on the most expensive kinds of healthcare. And we're talking about 1.4 million Wisconsinites. Almost one in four Wisconsinites get some type of Medicaid assistance. I want to tell one example because I think this program gets a bad rap. And there are a lot of people in a lot of parts of the state who go, you know what? We should cut Medicaid. It's just those lazy black people in Milwaukee who are, you know, getting their government welfare. That's not what Medicaid is, folks. There are more Medicaid dollars proportionally going to rural communities, going to smaller communities. And what we're talking about is not just like, hey, here's your free health care. What we're talking about is I met a woman in January, Jessica. When she was born, she was a Medicaid baby because her mom didn't make enough to afford health care on her own. Thank goodness she had Medicaid coverage for she and her child. In part thanks to that, Jessica's mom was able to go to school, become a nurse, served on the front lines of the pandemic as a registered nurse before retiring, you know, once we got through the pandemic. Jessica went to college, got a degree, has a job, married. Her husband also has a job. They have employer-sponsored healthcare coverage. But their nine-year-old son has special needs, pretty involved special needs. And their employer-sponsored healthcare coverage doesn't cover everything every month. So they need a little help from something called the Katie Beckett Medicaid program. If that goes away, if that's what Republicans chop to get to their $800 billion minimum cut, it means that Jessica or her husband probably going to have to leave their job. Now that business is out a worker, now their household income is lower because they need to provide more care for their son. There's an economic cost to this. There's a pocketbook cost for all of us, on top of the fact it's just plain cruel when you consider the needs of their nine-year-old son versus whether Elon Musk needs another tax cut, because that's what it's going
to
pay for.
The cruelty is the point, though, and that gets us to the work that you're doing with Protect Our Care and how the debut was made this week of their healthcare sabotage tracker. And I thought it was very aptly named because I didn't count at all here. It's
astonishing.
It's a couple dozen bullet points in here of all the many different ways that Americans' health care has already been cut. We keep talking about, you know, the cuts to Medicaid. There have been so many things that already impact Americans' health that Protect Our Care had to create a health care sabotage tracker
to keep it all straight.
Everything that's been done. I don't know that we have time to go through all these, but you want to hit some of the highlights?
Yeah. We'd be here all morning. But day one, withdrew the United States from the World Health Organization. That means Americans are more at risk. The cuts to USAID mean things like overseas programs that help stop diseases in their tracks, that stop, you know, viruses that pop up all the time from mushrooming into a COVID pandemic means we're no longer on the front lines stopping those diseases where they are before they get to us. They cut by 90% the marketing and outreach budget, which tells people how and where to sign up for affordable healthcare coverage through Obamacare. We talked about the $2 trillion, you know, up to $2 trillion in cuts to Medicaid. They've increased the prices on prescription drugs. This is part of the tariff problem. And so it is literally dozens of things, from grants to, you know, NIH, long-term research that is saving lives, disruption of research, firing people who work on infectious diseases, canceling meetings of committees who decide what strains of influenza will be in the flu shot next year. All of this stuff is part of how, in addition to becoming the richest, wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world, we're also one of the healthiest. And I'm not here to suggest that everything is great on the healthcare front, but we have it pretty good compared to a lot of places in the world. And we want to be the place where if you want to practice medicine, if you want to research a disease and come up with a cure for cancer, we want you to come here. That's the American way. And on all of these issues across the board, not just on like how much you pay for your healthcare that they don't tend to care much about, they're also saying, we don't want you. We don't want to be the global leader in healthcare research anymore. We don't want to be a leader in this field. What the hell kind of sense does that make? And it is just totally inconsistent and puts the lie to this nonsense Bobby Kay slogan of making America healthy again.
No.
They're making America sicker and they're making us pay more for it at the same time. We lost a child to measles since Donald Trump took office. The first death in America from measles in 10 years. And there are currently 9 states in this country where there are measles cases. Why? Because the MAGA loons on the right have been for years stoking conspiracies about vaccines.
What, that microchip isn't real? Yeah.
The chickens come home to roost, and here they are.
Oh, God. And look, if we just pick on one thing, if we just pick on flu shots, that, as you mentioned, they canceled the product advisory committee, which would discuss exactly what the next cycle flu shot would look like, and terminated the CDC's flu vaccine campaign, which aims to raise vaccination rates among high-risk groups like seniors and children. Just those two things alone are going to cause the number of deaths next flu season to go crazy. Mm-hmm. People are going to die. Whether they voted for Trump or didn't vote at all, or young or old, people are going to die because of stupid decisions like this.
That is the healthcare reality. The risk is up. And on the economic front, the risk is way up, folks. Jobs are down. The stock market is down. Consumer confidence is down. Tariffs are up, but that's part of why the first three things I just mentioned on the economy are down.
Exactly.
And so we've got economic risk. We've got nothing going on inflation. In fact, Trump is going to make inflation worse with this tariff war. This is the level of chaos and disorder that we warned folks about. And to anybody who got hoodwinked by the con man and Elon Musk, come on over to our side. We're not perfect, but we are going to work to make sure more Americans have more affordable, better health care. And you cannot say that about the Trump administration 6 weeks in or whatever we are.
No. And look, another one, if you want it, not from a health standpoint, but from a pocketbook standpoint, delaying implementation of a Biden rule that would bar medical debt from showing up on credit reports. Your credit report should not be impacted by medical debt. That doesn't say whether you're a bum and you pay your bills or not. And yet it's all there, and you can follow these and so many more at the Protect Our Care Healthcare Sabotage Tracker. The full web address is protectourcare.org/sabotage-tracker. But just go to protectourcare.org and learn all about what the group does and the many ways that they are looking out for the damage being done so that when the time is right, we can rebuild this again.
I think the Beastie Boys said it best, the TLDR version of this. Attention, all of y'all. It's a sabotage. That's what they're doing to healthcare.
I can't top that for an ending. Joseph Pecky, thank you so much. Have a good start to the weekend.
See ya.
We'll get today's history lesson right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We remember the legacy of Val Phillips, the trailblazing civil rights leader. Is also the first African-American woman elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly. Phillips was born in Milwaukee, and though she faced both racial and gender barriers, she remained strong in her fight for equality. She helped pass groundbreaking laws to desegregate public housing while also fighting for voting rights. Her courage and determination wasn't just for Wisconsin, but for the nation. And Phillips' legacy continues to inspire those who believe in justice, showing that one voice can spark change. These are the stories continuing to inspire all of us every day. And as we honor them, we will also recognize the powerful women who are still writing history. I'm Terry Barr.
Matt Nair on Air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Patience. Once again, a reason for people to listen while they're driving in going, "Hey, Pat, would you stop talking? just let the song play."
You know, Pat, people really don't want you to talk over the song. When you're talking over the song, they find it
Yeah. My Girl by The Temptations hit number one this day in 1965, part of today's history lesson. On this Thursday morning, on this day in 1836, the Alamo fell with all the Texas defenders killed. On this day in 1857... the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 7-2 in the Dred Scott decision that the U.S. Constitution does not confer citizenship on black people. If that doesn't remind you that you just keep fighting, you just keep swimming, and you just keep making better things happen, because some folks don't get it right the first time. On this day in 1976, the Miracles, still together a few years after Smokey Robinson left the group and had a solo career, the Miracles were still together in 1976 when they hit the top of the charts.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite... guest cameos on Friends was Bruce Willis, and him singing this to himself in the mirror was always funny. I hope he's doing well. I
feel too bad for him.
David Gilmour of Pink Floyd, 79 years old today. Yeah. Kiki D is 77 years old today. Kiki D was born Pauline Matthews. And is also well known, of course, for "Don't Go Breaking My Heart" with Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
Happy 77th birthday, Meathead, Rob Reiner, the film director Other folks remember him from All in the Family. But after All in the Family, he did pretty all right for himself for a film director.
Yeah.
Spinal Tap, Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, Stand By Me, A Few Good Men.
Heard of him?
Heard of him, you know. You know, and you're sure his dad, Carl Reiner's going, oh, yeah, that wasn't bad. You know, nice little showbiz family there.
Yeah.
Hey, we mentioned a couple of basketball legends earlier. Shaquille O'Neal is one of them. And today he turns 53 years old.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, feeling it, right?
Yeah.
On this day in 1982, the Go-Go's became the first all-female band to have a number one album. This is one of the tracks off Beauty and the Beat. On this day in 1964, Cassius Clay, the boxing champion, changed his name to Muhammad Ali. On this day in 2000, Eric Clapton was inducted as a solo artist into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. On the text line, Tom and Jackson sends in just very briefly, more Eric Clapton, please.
More Clapton.
So there you go.
More Clapton.
First one to be inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame three different times. Mm-hmm. He had previously been inducted as part of the Yardbirds and as part of Cream. And in 2000, he was inducted a third time for his solo career.
I can't think of that. Who? I'm trying to think of who else. Eric Clapton. He's the only one.
Think so.
I thought so. No, he is. I thought that Paul. Yeah. I thought Paul McCartney was, but he's not for Wings.
Not for Wings. No.
Well, you know him. He's Paul. They're like, yeah, you go ahead and let the side project in.
Your little side hustle. Here's the part of the program where I tell you who's the national day calendar and everything. Yeah, I forgot to set that up ahead of time.
It's National Tap Dance Tuesday.
No. It's just calling it up right now. So we're learning this all together, folks. Yeah. Today is National Dentist Day.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Didn't we have National Frozen Food Day already, or was it Frozen Food Week? That must have been it, because today is National Frozen Food Day.
Pat, I love how you asked me that. Like, I'm like, well, Pat,
you know, if you would have been at rehearsal, yeah, we would have known that. Today is National Dress Day.
Okay.
It is, but by the way, just to prove to our female friends, we have learned, we understand where you're coming from on this. We say Happy National Dress Day, but only to the dresses with pockets.
That's right. That's right.
There you go.
And deep pockets too. None of these jeans for women with pockets that are the size of, like, you know, a digit of
lipstick.
Your finger.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's got to fit the iPad in there. Okay?
Yeah.
Today is National Oreo Day. Okay. I do not eat Oreos the way that I used to, but that's because as a kid, I mean, I was like a machine. My mom would be like, "You only get so many Oreos," but I could dunk them all day. Sometimes it felt like I would dunk them all day.
You ever spirit with a fork and dunk it that way, and you get like a fine piece of dessertery?
Spirit with a fork? No, wouldn't it all crumble and everything?
No, you spirit in the middle section.
Okay. And oh, I see.
Wow, Pat. Okay.
I'm just imagining it's just crumbling. Bam, bam, bam.
Eat Oreo.
I also have to say, though, that I won't eat regular Oreos anymore ever since they invented Double Stuff.
You know,
that's the real Oreo right there, see, as far as I'm concerned. The other one was a starter, kind of like a starter marriage, a training marriage. This is a starter Oreo.
Well, then they came out with the Thins. I'm like, what are you people doing?
I know. Come on.
I can do like two Double Stuffs, and I'm like, oh, God, too much creamery. Blah, blah, blah.
Today is National Hospitalist Day, and I know a lot of good hospitalists out there. What you do is extremely important, and thank you for all that you do. And coming up in our next hour, we're going to start with a friend of mine, Sean O'Malley, who has worked on Wall Street for many, many years and really has a great insider view on how the recent decisions by the Trump administration are going to impact Wall Street and consumers and the economy and global stability. And we'll talk to State Senator LaTanya Johnson from the Joint Finance Committee and new State Assembly Rep Russell Goodwin, Luke Mathers, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot. All ahead on Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning, March 6th, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston, saying it's time to give education back to the states. The Trump administration is getting ready to dismantle the Department of Education. ABC's Rachel Scott in Washington says an executive order is expected as soon as today.
Most funding for public schools already is at the state and local level, but the department does oversee billions of dollars in funding to help low-income students and students with disabilities. It enforces civil rights laws to prevent discrimination in schools, manages about $1.5 trillion in student loan debt, and also oversees the process for students applying for college financial aid through Pell Grants or FAFSA, for example.
Elon Musk met with congressional Republicans last night on Capitol Hill, trying to further explain the work his Department of Government Efficiency is carrying out, including the mass firings of thousands of federal employees. European Union leaders beginning a day of emergency talks on beefing up their own security and providing more security to Ukraine now that President Trump has halted all funding to Ukraine. This is ABC News. New defense.